turn to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. I want to read just one verse. When I read this verse, there is a phrase in this verse. I mentioned it last week. And I want to deal with that phrase, and then I want to deal with the subject that that phrase talks about. Verse 4 of Romans 2, and we will be on the subject that this phrase talks about probably for a few weeks. I want to try to cover that subject. Let me read the verse. Or, despiseth thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Now my phrase I have this morning is, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. That's the phrase. Now, my title, or we might say, and my subject would be, God's goodness leadeth to repentance.
Amen.
I've shortened it down just for title's sake, but here's what Paul actually wrote. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. He's asking a question of you and of me, and of course of these people who he's writing to. Do you not know this?
Exactly.
Do you not know this? But how often have we known something and so quickly forget it?
Amen. You're right.
Now that's not to say that the thought is not in our brain wrinkles, however that, you know, those things are stored there in the brain. I'm not a neuroscientist. If I was, I would be making a whole lot more money than what I make, what I do. It's not that. It's not that we simply forget it as something like an old age and we begin to become forgetful. We don't really pay attention to God's truth all the time. But I am also here to say that there are some people that do not know that the goodness of God is what leads to repentance.
Amen.
And there are those, and God, I don't want to try to take us away from this verse. Remember what I preached, was it last Sunday? When you read passages like this, don't try to say, well, that can't be me because this sounds so condemnatory. You best take your place in the dust in truth and in fact, and be honest. But there are some who do despise the riches of God's goodness and his forbearance and his long suffering. Why? But he goes on to say, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Now, I made this statement last week, and I didn't say much about it, and I do not say this to criticize. It is just an observation of fact. I noticed a few eyebrows raise. Now, I'm not saying that was unbelief, but I'm not saying it wasn't either. I'm just stating a fact. Listen. Repentance is worked in a soul by God. Now, no eyebrows raised there. Everyone here, there might have been some eyebrows raised from people that were watching from the live stream side or something, but nobody raised their eyebrows. Now, repentance is worked in a soul by God. But then I said, not by wrath. Not by difficult circumstances. But by God's goodness.
Amen.
But by God's goodness. Now, I want to clarify, I am not saying that when God's goodness leads someone to repentance, that they are not going to be in any difficult circumstances. It will be to the contrary.
Right.
When God's goodness leads someone to repentance, they will be in deep trouble and affliction. There might be even physical things that happen to them. You understand what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is those difficult circumstances, whether they be of a natural ilk, and I'm just separating this for our mind, a natural ilk, a physical phenomena that God brings upon you, or whether it's some spiritual turmoil down inside in your heart and mind, these things accompany God's people when God leads them by His goodness to repentance. These things are not what leads them to repentance. It is the goodness of God that leads thee to repentance. And I have forgotten that. I think I mentioned this last week, at least not at length. But I'll, you know, you hear of someone you care about, and whether they have made a profession of faith and maybe seemed to have fallen away from it. Or maybe they've made no profession of faith at all. And you begin to see trouble happen. They get in a tight spot. And you know, a lot of that tight spot's because of their evil choices. Mm-hmm. Poor choices.
Right.
And you think, oh, God, use that. Use that to turn them around. But that's not going to happen. Now, God, oh, God, if He would do this. If God, oh, God, use those circumstances. And I'm using this kind of in an illustrative, metaphorical way to set them down and shut them up. But that's not going to lead them to repentance.
You're right.
Now, the subject I want to deal with, if I have time, I don't want to rush through this morning. The subject I want to deal with is repentance, and we'll deal with it for at least a couple messages. But the phrase is, it is the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. Now, think about this. Paul does not write, it is the goodness of God that offers repentance. It is not even, it is the goodness of God that commands you to repent. Though certainly we know God now commands all men everywhere to repent, but that's not what Paul's talking about here. And granted, again, it's in the form of a question. It's a rebuke. Do you not know that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? You see, we often, because of either bad training in the past when we were in false religion, or just because of our natural depravity, we often think of when a bad circumstance comes upon an individual, then, and I will put it like most people think of, then God's trying to teach him something. Well, let me tell you something. The Almighty King, the Sovereign of heaven and earth, has never tried to do anything. He's never tried to do anything. But another thing, our mind thinks, well, then God is punishing them. No, it may be just they're sowing what they're reaping. Because if God was truly punishing them, they'd go to hell. Because that's the truth. It is not just physical death, the punishment of sin. It is that as well. But then to spiritually die in eternity. Separated from all that is good.
Amen.
All that is good. You see, because men like to think, well, if things are going well and you got a good job and you got a good spouse and your children are halfway decent, you know, and things are going well and you got a nice home to live in, then God's blessing you. That may or may not be the case.
Because didn't
think of the preacher's name now, our beloved brother. But anyway, Bruce Crabtree said here behind this podium one time, all God's got to do to let him go to hell is just leave him to himself and bless him with a good job.
Yep. Yeah.
And a good wife.
Yep.
Good children. Yep. A nice house. And just leave him right there and he goes through all of his life. And evidently things ain't too bad because God ain't whooping me, man. And he takes his last breath and he closes his eyes in death and he wakes them up. His eyes then are opened up in hell.
Exactly.
In hell. But let us never think. It's not having bad circumstances. It's not having bad circumstances that prove that God's trying to do anything.
Exactly.
Because it is true. Man that is born as woman is a few days and what? Full of trouble.
Amen.
Saved or lost, converted or not converted, regenerate or unregenerate, elect or reprobate, all men suffer trouble. And God's not trying to teach us a lesson. As I said, our God doesn't try to do anything.
Amen.
But let's think about this. Look at it. Look at what the words actually indicate. It's the goodness of God that leadeth. Let me start with the second word first. The goodness of God that leadeth. In other words, it brings, it drives, it induces thee to repentance. Go look at it. I'm not making that up. Go get your Strong's Concordance. Look up that word, leadeth, just that word in that passage. Now, other places, lead can mean a little different things. But in this passage, it means it brings. Now, when you lead your dog, does that mean you just go out there in front of it, run away from it for a bit, and then holler for that dog to come to you if it wants to? That's not leading a dog, is it?
No.
When you lead a dog, you put that dog on a leash.
Yes, sir.
and you put that collar around that's hooked to that leash around that dog's neck, and you make sure that dog goes with you. That's the implication. It's like putting the ox under the yoke. And forcing the reins, or in, a long time ago, they would walk beside the ox and have a prod, prod it along. It's the goodness of God that brings you to repentance. Do you see it? It's the goodness of God that drives you to repentance.
Yes, sir.
But we ought to think of those things as connected to tough things, right? But no, this is the goodness of God.
Amen.
Do you see it? Now, tough things will be there.
Yes, sir.
When God opens your eyes, or maybe I should say gives you eyes and ears and a heart to see and hear and perceive, and you begin to realize what you really are, you will be in inner turmoil.
Yes, sir.
It will be a tribulation, a trouble, a trying circumstance, but it will be God's goodness that is to lead you to, or bring you to, or to drive you to, or to induce you to repentance.
Yes, sir.
And you'll be glad to repent.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to do something to get out from under a trouble, right?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. If that's the only way God led us to repentance,
yeah,
then when the trouble quit, the repentance would fade away. You see?
Yeah. Right.
Well, that's just one thought about it. So that's why. Because God's truth is the truth. That's why Paul is forced to write it this way. It's the goodness of God that brings you to repentance, drives you to repentance, induces you to repentance. But then notice it is the goodness of God.
Amen.
Of course, I've already kind of mentioned it, but in connection with the word leadeth. But when men think, including myself, I don't always think the right thoughts. I don't know. And when I'm smiling, it's just to cover up my shame.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's the goodness of God. We usually think of God's goodness as, well, I got a good job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My bills are being paid, and although it's a struggle, somehow everything always works out, right? Ever been there?
Oh, yeah.
I've always been there. Huh? When you don't know where the next bill's going to be paid from, and bills pile on top of that, but somehow, somehow, God Almighty works it out, right?
Yes, sir.
The bills get paid, even if you have to go borrow some old money and take on another debt. But at least you get the creditor's noose off from around your neck.
Yeah.
And that's what we like to think about God's goodness, right?
Yes, sir.
When God's blessing me, giving me things, and that's where the flesh really sees God's goodness. If God's giving me what I want and makes me happy and makes me comfortable, then God must be being good to me, right? But that's not, we already mentioned, that's not necessarily true. Don't you think Herod was quite a comfortable man? Don't you think he didn't have any of the worries that most of the people he ruled over had? And yet God smote him with worms and killed him. Did he not? Because he did not give God the glory.
Amen.
Now, this word goodness, what does it mean? It's primary. We might say the first meaning of it, and everything else about the goodness, this goodness, is equal to that. It doesn't contradict it. It means moral excellence. And you can go to your concordance, go to Strong's, and say moral excellence. And moral is a good word.
Yeah.
It's a good word. There is morality and there is immorality.
Yes.
The scriptural equivalent would be righteousness and unrighteousness.
Exactly.
The only problem I have with not the word morality, the word's fine, is men's use and practice of morality. Because you and I know that there are things today that are considered completely moral that 50, 60 years ago, it was immoral. And even if you did it, you kept it in the closet. You kept it in a home. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
The problem's not with the word moral. The problem is with man's sense of morality. But be that as it may, it means this, moral excellence. But then I read a little further. And I read You know, a lot of Greek words are two or three words put together. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I read some of that otherness. But also means this, to furnish or to provide what is needed.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To furnish or provide what is needed. And all of a sudden, I started to see a little bit about what it means that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance. Think about it. Think about it. It is what God Almighty in free sovereign grace provides to me that leads me or drives me or induces me to repentance.
Amen.
Do you see that?
Yes.
It actually furnishes or provides what is needed. And that's usually we say, well, you know, you help out somebody. If somebody's in need, you provide the need.
Yeah.
Somebody says, well, it's a good thing. And amongst men, it is a good thing. And even under God, it's a good thing, but it's not going to gain you any merit before God. Now you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right.
Men ought to be good toward one another and provide one another's needs. James says, you say you've got faith, you see a brother in need, you don't just go up and give him a few of these and say, God bless you. If you've got something in your pocket that'll help that man out or something that you'll have, give that man, give that brother what he needs. Well, that's true goodness. You see it? That's true goodness. Now, I want you to turn, and if you have a Bible, I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. And I didn't see this till yesterday. And I said, thank you, God, for giving me this. Well, I certainly wasn't looking for it, but I just knew something was missing. I was then going to give you a few examples of the goodness of God leading thee to repentance, and then start into what is repentance. And then this, I knew this, but I'd forgot it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd forgot it. Now, you have Exodus chapter 33. And let's look at, let me see where my notes, because of verse 17, let's start there. Now, remember, Moses feels under the gun. Well, he knows he's got a job to do. He knows he's got rebellion in here, and he knows these people he's leading have got rebellion in them.
Oh, yeah.
And he's wanting to know, oh, God, don't you send us up here if you don't go with us. You know, have I found grace in your sight? And look what it says, verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I can tell now I'm not going to get to actual repentance yet, but, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. Now can you imagine having God tell you that?
Amen.
So if only God would tell me that. He has.
Amen.
This is His word no less than when He spoke physically to Moses. You see, this is His word.
Amen.
But our minds, all we just think it'd be so much better if it sounded forth from heaven. No, this is a more sure word prophecy.
Yeah.
Now look, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name.
Amen.
And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And I remember one preacher saying, Moses didn't take a breath for God to change his mind. Show me.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, you know, he would just be in that for effect. Show me then. Isn't that what he says? Show me thy glory. Now look, that's what he's asked. The question is, show me thy glory. And he said, now who's the he there? That's the Lord. That's God. And he said, I will make my goodness pass before thee. Is that what he said? Mm-mm. It's only a part of what he said. You can't leave out that 1 3-letter word, because if you do, you'll think of goodness in the wrong way. You're trying to divide up goodness, and maybe this is that. No, look. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. All?
Yes, sir.
How can that be? Try to sit down and try to start using words to describe God's goodness. Right? And I'm reminded, I'll give you this illustration. I'm reminded of seeing a movie and somebody was going through a wormhole. You know what they call wormholes? I don't know. The only wormholes I know are two. It's one that the nightcrawler crawls out of, and that's the house that I live in, because there's four worms that live there in that hole.
Yeah.
But anyway, this person was passing through this wormhole and was just seeing all these other galaxies fly by. So as Moses stood there, why did he say, did God begin to show him this great canopy of all of God's goodness? No. But he was going to see what? All of God's goodness. because God had just promised he's going to show it to him, right? And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. Now, this is my opinion. I cannot prove this by Scripture dogmatically. But I know this. Moses seen Christ's day, Joe. And what you wrote to me got me to thinking about Moses, he was glad. Moses was speaking with the Redeemer. But look at it. I just wonder, did he tell him his name? Yeah. Did he? I don't know. But he told him the name of the Lord, whatever it was, right? And look, but I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. In other words, Moses, you didn't earn this.
Exactly.
And it's not even really being given to you just because you asked it of me. Because one of the prophets said, I was found of them that asked not after me, didn't seek after me.
Amen.
Right? It's God's sovereign. God's sovereign. Look, and he said, thou canst not see my what? Face? A face? The Lord's face?
Amen.
How is it that anyone could ever see the face of God?
Mm-hmm.
Only in the person of Jesus Christ. But even here, God's telling Moses, you're not going to get to see the face.
Uh-huh.
You see it? But look. Thou shalt see my... And he said, thou canst not see my face, for thou shalt no man see me and live. Now notice how he said that. He didn't say no man can see my face and live, because if you've seen Christ, even by faith, you have seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because the face reveals, not literally see it, the face reveals who you are. I remember Henry Mahan one time giving an illustration. When we take pictures, what do we take pictures of? At least here. Do you ever just take a picture of your hands? Oh, there's Walter. Look at him. Look at him. There's Walter. Huh? There's Walter's hand. That's Walter. Yeah. Or maybe it's my foot. Take a picture of that foot and hang it up on the wall. There's Walter. No. But you see this.
Yeah.
Right? If you know Walter, you look at that picture and you see this, what do you see? That's Walter. Okay. That's the illustration. For there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock.
Amen.
Now, who do you think the rock was, too?
There you go.
I mean, there was a rock that followed these people, a rock that followed them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they didn't keep coming back to the rock. The rock followed them.
Yeah.
And Paul tells us clearly that rock was Christ.
Amen.
Look, thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by. Now, what did he tell him? I will show you all my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Look, and my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, that little hiding place, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. So the same God that he's talking to is the one that's going to stick his hand out, not let him see his face yet, but look. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts. He sees his shoulders, his back, his rump, and his legs. Maybe his heels, Mason. But he got to see. When you read that, what do you think of? A human being. Do you not?
Yes, sir.
God is spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is pure glory, pure light.
Mm-hmm.
You know? This can only be a fleshly appearance of God Almighty before Christ was actually incarnate in the flesh through the Virgin Mary. Now, then, how could you see all of God's goodness at one time and still not even see the face and still be called all of God's goodness? If you see Jesus Christ, you've seen all the goodness of God. Let me give you two examples. Two examples. The Gadarene demoniac. He had some troubles, did he not?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I mean, this man was so possessed with demons that he wouldn't wear clothes. They tried to bind him. He'd break them. And he was living in the graves, in tombs. Now, not a graveyard like we think of it. He'd evidently move a rock out of the way. They'd have dead bodies. He'd go up in there and sleep. Go up in there and stay. Was he seeking the Lord? He's a crazy man. infested with demon possession.
Yes, sir.
And yes, he ran to Christ, but he couldn't run to Christ till Christ had first come to him.
Amen.
He didn't take off, go to find Jesus. Jesus came to him.
Amen.
Jesus is the goodness of God.
Amen.
Hmm? And let me tell you something. Jesus cast out the devils.
Amen.
Hmm? And then they found him what? Seated at the feet of Jesus. Clothed.
Uh-huh.
And then he's right.
Amen.
You see it? His troubles didn't make him repent. And they bind him up. It didn't make him better. I figure he just went crazy. Probably have to hear him howling in the middle of the night. Huh? Made you fear if you wanted to go put a few flowers on the kinfolk's grave. Don't you think? With that fool running around demon infested. But the goodness of God came and led him to repentance. Look at Saul of Tarsus. Look at Saul of Tarsus. He was on his way to have Christians put in jail.
Yes, sir.
And the pricks were eating at him. And eating at him. Right? Because even Christ himself has said, it is hard for thee to kick against the bricks. But it lets me know he was. That wasn't leading him to repentance, was it? When did he repent? When the goodness of God came along. Huh? You see what I'm saying? That's all I'm trying. You say, preacher, it's that simple? It's more simple than I've even stated it, and yet it's that profound. You'll see all my glory, and all I got to see was the back parts.
That's right.
Well, let me tell you something. If you see anything of the truth of the person and work of Christ, you've seen all God's glory, because He is all God's glory wrapped up in one person.
Amen.
In one person. Now that lets me know that the preaching of the person and work of Christ is quite... It's a blessing to hear, is it not?
Amen.
And I remember what Tim James one time said. When I first heard it, I was, I thought I knew everything. He said, God saves me every time I hear the gospel. I'm starting to understand what he talked about. What he's talking about. I'm starting to understand what he's talking about. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you that your goodness does lead us to repentance. And Father, we thank you for him who is your goodness. Oh, Lord, we're so forgetful. So forgetful. Thank you, God, for your free reigning grace. In Christ's name, amen.